Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we are gathered in this place tonight. And Father, that your spirit finds freedom in this place as you inhabit the praises. You dwell amongst the praises of your people. And so, Father, as we prepare our hearts this Advent season to celebrate, Lord God, once again, the Advent and the coming of your Son, help us to be fully present here tonight, to be challenged, encouraged by your word, stirred, Lord God, and may you find freedom in our hearts to do as you choose. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. What is faithfulness? And how do you stay committed to the purposes and plans of God in your life when life gets hard? I want to look at two ladies tonight in this Advent story. And maybe it's appropriate for us to deal with this question simply because the station in life we're all in right now. And this Advent, the place that we find ourselves. You know, when I was here last, we talked about finding hope in tomorrow. And how do you find that in the midst of a difficult situation? And two women that we want to talk about that had that tough time are Mary and Elizabeth. You know, if we look at Mary, we find a very young lady. Tradition has it, she's probably 14 or 15 years old. Now, for us today, that seems a little bit ridiculous. But in this day, it was pretty normal. And so God comes and he chooses this virgin. It says in Isaiah 7 that God will choose a maiden. It actually doesn't say virgin in the Hebrew. It says maiden, but it implies the same thing. The concept of a young woman who would have been considered a virgin in those days. And God chooses this girl. You have to ask the question, why? Why would you choose Mary? Now, we could say her lineage was important, because it was. It was supposed to be in the line of David, and she was in the line of David. That's true. We could also say that she was moldable. She was a woman of faith. She was somebody that God knew would accept the purposes and plans of God at this young moment in her life. I mean, consider that, 14. How many people would be open to those kind of plans from God and allow God to shape and mold you at that point in your life? But probably the most important thing is grace. God chooses her really for the most important moment in her life at 14. She would be important later. She would be involved in Jesus' life. She'd be at the cross when his life would be given. She would later go live with John, tradition has it, and maybe passes living with John in Ephesus later on in life. But her most important call is at 14. Now, I don't know about what you were doing at 14, but I was not very open to the purposes and plans of God in my life. In fact, for me, in my own story, I wasn't even following God, for I got confirmed, and when I got confirmed, that day I walked out of the church and didn't step back into a church for over 4 years. For I got confirmed just to bless my mom, not for me. But she was prime at 14. And think of all the problems, the struggles, and the hardships that would come with that. Think of all the issues she's going to have later. Being pregnant at 14. And what her culture would say of her. What her family would say of her. How many would believe the story that she was pregnant by some divine, miraculous event? She was going to go through hardship. She was going to go through struggle with her own culture, her own family, her own community. And where would she find a place of shelter at this moment in her life that was divine and at the same time chaotic? Now, there's a second lady that we're looking at tonight, and that's Elizabeth. And Elizabeth is completely kind of the opposite of Mary. Elizabeth is in her older age. See, Elizabeth didn't get pregnant when she was younger. And in fact, in this culture, she would be considered somebody that probably would have been cursed by God. Because in this day, in this age, in the Jewish tradition, that if you didn't have a child, you and your husband would be considered out of God's favor. So Elizabeth probably went for her life, which is interesting because the Bible says in Matthew that she was upright and just. And even here in Luke, it says in verse 6 that they were righteous, her and her husband, in the eyes of God. And yet, probably behind her back in the community, everybody's talking about her. Even though that she's righteous and upright, and consider this is something that Matthew and Luke write years after the event. So they're writing on the stories about Elizabeth and her reputation. And even years later, they're considered her righteous and upright, her and her husband. But somewhere, we don't know where she lives. She lived in some obscure little village. And yet, you know what happens in small towns, right? Everybody knows everything. Everybody's probably talking, even though they were known to be righteous, they were upright, upstanding citizens. Yeah, but you know what? They didn't have a child. You know what? For some reason, God's hand's not upon them. And where does that go? Where does that go? It goes even further down that, well, there must be some what? Unconfessed sin. Consider Job. Remember Job's story? And Job has all that happen to him, and three friends show up, and his other younger friend, and what do? They start thinking they have the mind of God, and it's because you have some unconfessed sin in your life that this is happening, Job. And as Job sits in his misery and pain, those who were considered his friends just drive him deeper. And I got to think, although we don't know for sure, that this was happening to Elizabeth in her culture, in her town, in her city. Now, you know that she's related to Mary. She gets pregnant in her old age. But now, why Elizabeth? Just like, why Mary? Why Elizabeth? Now, you could say because of her faithfulness. You could say just like Mary that she was moldable. That she was open to what God's will and God's ways were. You could also say that because she was considered somebody who was faithful and upright and following God. Or you could simply say just as with Mary, it was because of grace. And while others thought that there was something wrong with her, Elizabeth was living with unmet expectations. Think about what's going on in Elizabeth's heart, not what's going on in her heart in the community. Imagine the questions in her own mind before this happened that she lived with for years. God, why didn't I have a child? God, why am I barren? Why is my womb not open? God, have you not found favor with me? You know what goes through your mind, right? You pray, it doesn't happen the way you expect it to. God takes the long way around and taking the short path. People, I've seen this in Haiti over and over again. You'll be able to read the whole story when the book goes in print in 3 months. But the story is that we lost everything. Everything. And where do you go when you're asking God why? I had to show back up at an orphanage with 25 kids and 10 employees sitting there looking at me with long faces saying, what do we do now, Pastor Mike? What do we do if you leave this country? How do we survive? And you know what through my mind? The same thing that goes through your mind. Not just why, but God, how did I fail? How did I thought I was right in the center of your will. I thought I was walking in tune with what you were telling me to do. And now here I stand with nothing that I've prayed for seeming to come into pass. And that's where Elizabeth is in this moment. God, why? You know, she's older in age, so maybe she's accepted it. But she's lived through this experience. But you know why I also think it might have been Elizabeth? Because Mary needed somebody who was older, had wisdom, and had experience to go to. You know, I've said for years, we all need in our lives a Paul, a Barnabas, and a Timothy. We need a Paul. We need somebody who is our mentor, somebody whose feet we sit at and is our teacher. We need a Barnabas. We need somebody with the gift of encouragement who's going to build us up, who's going to lift us up, who with their very words can speak into our hearts. You've had them in your lives, right? I can think of a couple on my first call. And I'm going to embarrass one of his sons because he's here today. One of them was Larry Smith, a guy who could come and speak into my life. And man, he just sat down and tears welled up in my eyes. Another one in my first congregation was David's dad, Carl. Some people have that ability to sit down in front of you and build you up by their very words. And to Timothy, this is just a side note. There ought to be somebody in your life that you're building into. And you ought to be able to point that out always. But see, I think Elizabeth was Mary's Paul and Barnabas in this moment. See, Elizabeth does something very unusual. She gets pregnant, and then she kind of goes into hiding for 5 months. And you got to ask yourself the question in reading scripture, why she gets pregnant, she's wanted this her whole life, but she goes into hiding. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us really the reasons why, but you can almost infer some of these things. I imagine that she couldn't just go out and tell everybody, hey, I'm pregnant with something divine that God has given me, because people might have thought she lost her mind. And maybe she already had enough of everybody talking about her, right? And 5 months, if you think about it, after 5 months, you begin to show. So maybe she went into hiding until she showed, so she could go back out in the community and say, no, this really is of God, and not have to deal with 5 months of people talking about her. But she comes out, and right after she comes out, who comes to this obscure village? Mary. Mary comes to see her cousin. And yeah, you can, you know, analyze this and decide, well, she came because she needed to get away and she didn't want to be talked about in her village because she was engaged. And if people saw her pregnant, she was going to go through the same thing. And that's all true. But maybe God, in this difficult moment, led her to the woman who Mary needed. You see, Elizabeth had been talked about by the community. Elizabeth had experienced these things. Now, Mary went to the one who had already experienced what she was going through, and God gave her her Paul and Barnabas so that she could walk with her through this time of hardship. Walk with you. You know, I remember being in Haiti the night that our first property was stolen, that was somebody else had given it to us. They hadn't secured it, and so we lost it. And I remember going and in my bedroom that night, and there was one other man who had traveled with me in the midst of all this to be in Haiti so that I wasn't there by myself. And we had lost everything. I remember him turning around and looked at me, and this guy, to give you a little insight, his name is John. And he actually really came to faith just about a year before this on his first mission trip to Haiti with me. He wasn't going to church prior to this. But in the darkness of the room, as I'm praying, John said, "Pastor Mike, I'm excited." And I'm like, "Are you crazy? I don't even have hope now. And I'm the preacher." He said, "I'm excited." I said, "Why?" He said, "Because God is going to take this and do something bigger than we could ever imagine, ever dream, or ever hope." And I always say, in that moment, the student became the teacher as he spoke into me. And now here, 5 years later, as we have a much bigger orphanage, all kinds of property, walking through that hardship, God gave me somebody, and he gave Mary somebody. Somebody to build her up, to encourage her. And Mary comes to her, and right away as she comes, she shows up, and the baby John leaps in Elizabeth's stomach. And she blurts out that she's blessed, that you're birthing the Lord. Now, I always see this scene, that she kind of took away Mary's thunder. Right? Because if you get, you know, if you're pregnant, what do you want to do? You want to be the one who tells everybody. And Mary shows up, and God doesn't even give her a chance to say anything to Elizabeth. It's like the baby jumps, and she's like, "You got my Lord." She doesn't call him my nephew, my relative, my Kyrios, messianic title. In that moment, she knew something divine was being birthed inside of Mary. Something glorious. And she saw in the midst of this moment what most people don't see. She saw in the midst of this chaos and this pain and almost at the possibility of public humility, God was entering in. And as you and I celebrate this Christmas, as you and I walk through this time together, I want you to see God enter in. I want you to see God enter in a unique way. Because you and I worship a God who walks in the midst of sin, pain, and the trouble of this world, who was birthed into this and walked to the point of a Roman cross, hung spread eagle, because God operates in the moments when everybody else gives up. And he brings peace, joy, and hope. So as you walk through this, see God. 5 years later, I just got back from Haiti. I see God on 30 kids' face that God has taken care of. I see him on 15, well, I don't even know how many employees we have down there, 18 employees, because we've now taken care of them and their families. I see God as they walk up to me, and I haven't even made this public announcement yet. As the country gives me our first license to open up a school, as we officially next year become an orphanage and a community school, and we're going to build a school for over 400 to 500 kids. God works in these moments, people. Don't miss it. Because something miraculous has not only been birthed, but is also being birthed. In Jesus' name.